Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore. We're back for our final Snyder Cut special, and we're going to finish off with who we started off with, Mr. Tom Elliott from the Twilight Zone podcast. What's up, Tom?
Zach, it's good to be back. I never thought this was going to happen, you know? Because who knows how it would have turned out, you know what I mean? We might never have wanted to talk about it, but and I'm sure people don't. Some people don't, but I'm happy to be back to do it.
That's right. You know, I know that we've spent a lot of time covering this, right? We did a lot of discussions before it came out, have some discussions after it. Now that it's out on home video, you know, that was kind of like, you know what? Let's kind of wait till it's all kind of physically in our hands, and then we have time to reflect on this whole process and phenomenon and see, you know, having rewatched it, obviously we both have since it first came out, you know, where we think about it now and kind of what the landscape is, because it's, you know, part of our early discussions was DCU, where are we, how do we get here, what's coming, and we'll wrap up with some of that forward thinking as well. But you know, I just think this is such a unique thing to cover, so I feel like, you know, some people, if it's not really their thing, they're probably like, God, you're still talking about the Justice League. It's like, yeah, but Smallville's coming. All right. We're going to have season 7 is literally coming next week. So episodes of that coming. So I appreciate you guys' patience of just scrolling on through and deleting these podcasts as they show up on your podcast feed if you're not into it. But if you are, hey, come on. Right. This is pretty cool. All we're talking about is the Justice League. So anyway, I do know we spend a lot of time on it, but I do think it's such a unique thing. In fandom, especially, this is a Superman podcast. Superman is a character in these movies, and so I wanted to ride the wave, right, of the Snyder Cut and the Justice League talk. So here we are.
You know, I think you were absolutely right to do it. I was in a similar position when the new Twilight Zone came out, and I just think you've got to jump on these things. Some people are going to want to hear about it. And if people don't, it's so easy to just scroll off. You know, I'll just swipe this one off my podcatcher. But I also think it was a good move to kind of have that bit of a gap to let the dust settle a bit with the Justice League, because it was bigger than I thought it would be at the time in terms of the conversation that was going on. And you and I spoke about it, and I think we had quite level heads. We think it's going to be better, but it's not going to change our lives. There is some middle ground. You know, that's kind of what we both said at the end of that last podcast that we did. But I also think I want to do a little disclaimer, if I may, Zach. Because
of course,
you know me, I kind of rally against the tribalism of the internet sometimes. It's something that annoys me all the time. It's why I don't tend to get involved with the bigger conversations. You know, I don't debate people on Twitter. I talk to my friends like you about stuff, and we disagree sometimes, but that's fine because it's, you know, talking to my friend. But what I notice is in both directions, if you really like this movie, then it's because you're a Zack Snyder fanboy. If you don't like this movie, it's because you're a Zack Snyder hater. And I just want to put a little disclaimer out there that, you know, I am no Zack Snyder fanboy. You know what I mean? To me, he's one of those filmmakers where I could love one of his movies, but then the next one I will do absolutely nothing for me, you know? And I don't see him as one of those filmmakers that, you know, he's not a Hitchcock, or he's not even a Christopher Nolan. He's not a filmmaker with a particular kind of way of doing things and a style that gets me, I've got to watch his next movie because he has quite such a unique kind of view on things. He's just not that kind of person for me, because, you know, I watched that Army of the Dead movie and it was all right, you know, it was okay. So, you know, whatever is said here, it's not because I'm a Zack Snyder hater, or it's not because I'm a Zack Snyder fanboy. You know, most of the time I can take him or leave him.
I'm right there with you. I love Watchmen. I still think that's probably, for my taste, his best movie. And I think he adapted what many people said was an unadaptable work to the screen. And I give him all credit for that. And I love what he's done with a lot of these characters. The one I don't is Superman. Which is the great irony of it all, right? But no, you're so right. I will say, I think we can agree that he does have that visual style, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not like that's only one component. So I follow you what you're saying, like the Nolans, the Hitchcocks, right? And there, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I've always described him as more thinking man's Michael Bay, right? Because he's got the flair, right? And the blockbusterness of it all. But also, I do think there's some layers to the things he presents. Well, and not to sell Michael Bay short, he's made some great movies when he chooses to, right? I mean, like, yeah. The Rock is incredible. I mean, but, you know, the Transformers movies are the ones everyone gives Michael Bay crap for these days, being this disposable entertainment. But I do think, you know, love him or hate him, Snyder does bring a lot to the material as far as, like, layers of things. And that's why, you know, they are divisive, right? Because he makes some choices. I mean, this man, he doesn't play it safe, so I'll give him that, right?
Yeah.
But no, I follow you. It's not like you're not gonna go buy the Zack Snyder collection like you're gonna buy the Stanley Kubrick collection, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
I mean, some people might, and that's great, but that's we're not. But so there you go, right?
It's a minefield, Zach. It's a minefield these days.
So where do we find ourselves, right? Months later, talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League. You know, I've talked to several people about it, right? And that's another reason we've probably done so many, because I have a lot of close friends and podcasters that I've wanted to talk to about this with. And that's why we're talking about this so much. And we're ending it with you, Tom, because we started off as a nice end cap. It's the epilogue, right? Because really, there's seven parts to Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League. So it makes sense there'd be seven parts to our Snyder Cut special. Look at that. And unfortunately, you found yourself in the disposable waste of time and money epilogue, Tom. to just dive right headfirst into it. So I really did enjoy Zack Snyder Justice League. It was what I expected. It was more than I expected, frankly. A huge, just night and day improvement. The theatrical, there's no reason for that to exist anymore. I'm not one to do this. But if I was, I would just go, I wouldn't throw away my Blu-ray. I'd, you know, give it to a library or something, or do something constructive. But there's no reason to have both. It's not a Superman 2 situation where there's like pros and cons for each. This is clearly like head and shoulders, the definitive version. And I'm very pleased with that. And I very much enjoyed it. And it was not worth all the drama before, during, or after, right? But it was a great, enjoyable film with a bunch of characters that I've grown up loving, and seeing them all work together, which was great to me. To me, I mean, like, I would just, now this is me, I would rewatch and enjoy this more than I would the Avengers movies per se, which is blasphemy, I know, in a lot of comic circles, but Batman, The Flash, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, like, I want to see Cyborg, I want to see these characters. Superman's barely in it, but as I've said, he's probably my least favorite component of the DCU, so that's great to me. That's like a plus, you know. So that's where I am on it. As I'm sure everyone knows, if you've been listening to me talk about it. But where are you now, Tom, after having watched it months ago and now owning it on physical media?
Well, it's quite interesting. It came out in England quite soon after it was actually streaming. You know, so for some reason that I do not know, you guys in the States have had to wait months for it. So we got it a while ago. So I did watch it quite soon afterwards, but then I waited all this time until you got it. And I remember that first night watching it, you know, I was all juiced up. I was ready to go. I was like, come on, you know. But still, inside, I just felt like this is going to be good, you know, it's going to be better, but that's all. And I remember watching it, and I didn't message you at all, I don't think, until a few days later, because I just wanted you to have that experience as well, and to not be like, Zach, it's this, Zach, it's that. So I watched it, and you know what? I've never had that amount of time go by so smoothly for me with a movie. I was never bored with it. I was just engrossed with it on that first watch. And, you know, I remember texting you after saying, I didn't want to say anything because we said it's going to be better, but it's not going to change my life. But I think it's closer to it change my life. that's not quite true. You know, it was just a bit of hyperbole kind of thing. But I got to say, man, I love this movie. I really do. It was more than I expected. The main difference is, and we can talk about the minutiae of this, that, and the other, is by the end of it, it felt like we had a Justice League. You know, by the end of Joss Whedon's version, it felt like we had a bunch of guys turning up to a costume party. They never felt like the Justice League to me.
Okay.
Whereas this was just on such a scale that, okay, there's my Justice League. That was my first impression of it, you know?
Yeah, epic would be the obvious word for it, right? I mean, and I've heard this comparison. I agree with it. Like, it really, especially the whole flashbacks to, you know, thousands of years ago, and like that really felt very, very Lord of the Rings-esque, right? This is the comic book Lord of the Rings, right? And this is not to say, like, if it's not epic, it's not great. I'm just saying, like, that's the feeling. If you had to put one word on this, I'd say epic, because it really felt like an epic journey and an epic runtime as well. And for the most part, I like that it's as long as it is. Now, it is too long. There are obvious things they could take out. But you could, you know, this movie by its very nature, everyone's like, well, let's dissect like this, that, and that. And of course, I love doing that. That's why we talked hours and hours about it endlessly, right?
Yeah.
But what's your feeling when you walk away from it is the most important. And I'm like, man, that was great, right? That's my feeling. So
I think had Warners kept their nose out, let Zach do his thing, we probably would have ended up with like a 3-hour theatrical movie. You know, that's my feeling. That's probably what we would have got. And I've heard people say they feel that this is too long. Maybe if this was what we got straight out the bat, I might have agreed with that. But I think we're in a kind of situation here where it's like, we're in such a unique situation that it's a case of, look, guys, this is what we did. You know, just enjoy it. Enjoy it in 6 parts. Enjoy it in 2 parts. Enjoy it in however many parts you want. But this is probably all that you're going to get. So take it and enjoy it, you know. And like I said, you know, if this had happened in the most natural way, this might have been that extended cut, you know, that Zack Snyder's so fond of doing with Watchmen.
Yeah. It's like we just skipped over the theatrical, right? And it's like, here's your ultimate cut of this, ultimate cut of that. This is that for this. And even, I mean, I mentioned Lord of the Rings, right? That's a perfect example. Those extended editions, they add a lot. But in a lot of ways, you're like, man, I really do understand why some of this stuff didn't make the theatrical version. I mean, you're talking about a Return of the King is like a, what, 4-hour movie just like this, the extended edition, right? Maybe longer, but that's just what this is. So I think that's a great point. Just imagine this is your mega box set. And the thing is, we never saw what a theatrical cut of this would be. I think rewatching it, you know, thinking as like an editor myself, I'm like, okay, that should go, this would go, rearrange that, take these out, don't film an extra 20 minutes of things that don't matter. I mean, to me, that's the one thing that sticks out to me that I don't enjoy. And that's why I kind of like, I mention that as often as I do, because if you just slice that off, man, this is like, I would have almost nothing to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. It's such a unique event. And, you know, they said, okay, Zach, you can do it, but don't do this, this, and this. And, you know, so it's just like, I really understand them saying, you know what, I'm just going to give them all I got. I'll cut it up so it still makes sense. You know, I'm sure there's still stuff on the cutting room floor.
Right, right.
But I completely understand them doing that. And when I look at it, I think this is where we may differ a bit. There's not a scene where I would say, oh, take that out, take that out. I mean, we'll get to the end and stuff. But I'm just happy that it is what it is, and I completely understand why it is that way, you know?
Yeah, and to be fair, right, when this was initially pitched and presented to the public as it's happening, it's like this is going to be a multi-part thing on HBO Max, mm-hmm. which made sense to me because it's like, okay, they want to sell their HBO, WB, want to sell their new streaming service. They need to keep you subscribed. They'll drop one episode, I don't know, a month, maybe one episode a week. I don't know, just spreading it out makes perfect sense to me. So then they started with that mindset. And then I always assumed, oh, when it comes out on disc like we have now, then mm-hmm. you can sit down and watch it as the start to finish, which of course I always plan to do. But then I'm not sure exactly when they shifted gears.
There's a lot of confusion, like, wasn't there?
At the end. Because mm-hmm. we're all expecting, like, oh, once, what? Because you want to build the momentum once a week, kind of the anticipation. But then they just all became one thing, which is just great to sit down, because that's what people, that's the thing, right? And it's people binge things all the time now. So mm-hmm. to sit there and get mad that it's like 4 hours on a streaming service to me is unproductive, right? Mm-hmm. To quote Wonder Woman, hate is useless. So from this movie, right?
Unless
so
we're talking like, about Wonder Woman 84, then that's okay.
That's its own category. Oh my, you know, another thing I've said, it's like, you know what? I love the Wonder Woman trilogy. Wonder Woman, BVS, Zack Snyder's Justice League. That is my Wonder Woman trilogy, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's too long. I see what you mean, though. Like, there are, you know, and I guess with these other versions of Zack Snyder things, right, there's like, well, if you think the director's cut or the ultimate cut of Watchmen is too long, watch the theatrical version. There's not mm-hmm. that option for this, mm-hmm. right? There's the Justice League, right, as the name has developed, and I love that, calling it that. It just makes so much sense, but
yeah.
I think I was still surprised when it did come out on disc that they kept the chapters and stuff. Like, that's mm-hmm. part of the DNA now of this. So you can, there's even chat, like, watch, look at it like a mini series. It's like a mm-hmm. Justice League mini series, right? Or maxi series. I don't know what the terminologies are anymore, right? But if you look at it that way, these are just, I mean, the way that's split up, because now having rewatched it and kind of see, oh, okay, these all kind of have a logical beginning and end, and, you know, they could serve as their own contained entity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But I also think, to add to that, if we think of the criticisms of Justice League, if we think of the criticisms of how Snyder had to make the first two movies in his trilogy, if you like, this movie really had to kind of correct that. You know, I don't think you can say there's not enough development for Cyborg and Flash and then complain that there's too much development for Cyborg and Flash in this movie. Do you know what I mean? This balances out what they did wrong in Batman versus Superman. You know what I mean? I don't want to kind of, you know, it's always the temptation to talk about Marvel, isn't it? And how they did it. And I still wish DC had done it like Marvel. Don't get me wrong. But to have a Justice League, you need to know those characters, and I'm not sure how Zach could have really done that without really fleshing out those people that we just didn't know at this point, you know, because I didn't care about Cyborg, you know what I mean? I said that in the last one. I wish it was Green Lantern, but by the end of this, you know, okay, I'm happy with Cyborg. So
yeah, and that's what, you know, Wonder Woman being the main character almost, right, for a lot of it makes so much sense because she's established and she's meeting the mm-hmm. people. That's why it's so cool to see Wonder Woman interact with these heroes, because she has her own movie, right? Yeah. So we have what we've seen from her from BVS, we have her own film, so it has that excitement of, oh cool, I know her, now she's meeting this new Aquaman, and having come out after the Aquaman film has kind of made that him better, although it contradicts
a few things to get over there.
I gotta say, honestly, and I've said this before, the most surprising thing to me, this entire thing, was Mara's accent.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like, what, are you British now?
Yeah. And that final scene was filmed. Okay, hold on. So Zach would have filmed this before Aquaman, wouldn't he?
Yes.
So he must have had her being British in this. And then because they didn't use her in Justice League, then when they done Aquaman, she was American.
And then when he filmed his extra scenes with her in the apocalypse, he's like, "Nope, we're going back to British." And so it just, I was like, "Whoa, what?" Because I hadn't heard a hint of that before this. But anyway, all that to say, it's like, yeah, it's giving the characters time to establish all of them, let them breathe. I mean, this is really Cyborg's story, right? Zack Snyder said he was the heart of the film. He wasn't kidding, right? Because, I mean, even the end narration is like Joe Morton, everybody's favorite mad scientist, cyborg dad guy, you know, as a message to his son. So that, you know, that's kind of his journey there. And looking at like a series or whatever, like gives it all time, all these characters time to build and breathe. And we catch up with the people we left off in BVS. We introduce the new ones. They come together, like come together as the song goes. And then they have their, you know, the last couple parts of them working together as a team. And you really did, it didn't feel forced. It felt like it just all kind of flowed together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a couple of things going on here. Cause you know, Warner's wanted their Avengers, and I'm with you that I would probably rather watch this now than the Avengers. The Avengers is great. I enjoy the Avengers, but I just feel like there's just a few more things to get into here. You know what I mean? The Avengers is there. It's really nice to look at, but you get it. But I just think there's a bit more light and shade here, a bit more to get into. And I think once you've, you know, had that, your fun with the Avengers, it is what it is, and you still enjoy it. But this, I kind of feel like there's more to discover. But the way I kind of see it is, pretty much any criticism that I've heard about this film, I think is almost a knock-on effect of what was done wrong in the first two movies. So there's not enough Superman. And that was because of a really bad decision to kill Superman at the end of Batman versus Superman. Before, the world loved him, and now in Justice League, everyone's mourning him. It doesn't make sense, but what are you going to do with that? He's got to work with it, you know? And so he's got to kind of make the quest for Superman the quest for the League. I don't see that there was really much choice with that. You can't just resurrect him in some really throwaway sort of quick way so he's back in the first 20 minutes. It just doesn't work. So, and it's like that with a lot, you know, any criticism that I kind of see of this movie, it's because of the mishandling of building their universe in Batman versus Superman. There was just too much to catch up with. So, of course you're going to have a 4-hour movie, because what else are you going to do, you know?
Well, and even like this is, I mean, of the DCEU movies, this is now my favorite. This is the one I'll probably rewatch the most, right? Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, Man of Steel and BVS, like they exist and I'll check them out. You know, I mean, I love Batfleck, right? So that's a huge draw for BVS for me. And it's just meant, like watching this one alone, it's like, okay, this is cool. Like you can kind of fill in the blanks about what happened before and all that. And also it makes you feel the weight of Superman dying, because killing him off and then bringing it back and then next immediate film is like, come on. Right.
Yeah.
But since this is, again, so long, you kind of like the first half. Let me ask you this, because it plays into this. Do you have it on Blu-ray? Or do you have it on 4K, Tom? You 4K guy?
I've got it on 4K.
Okay, 4K. Is everything on one disc for you?
Two.
Okay. So, I didn't know if they, for me, it's like Blu-ray, it's on two discs as well. So where they split the movie, which is interesting, it's pretty much at the 2-hour point. The first four parts are about 2 hours, and the last two parts in the epilogue are about 2 hours as well, and the midway point is like, we got to bring back Superman. It's like the decision to do it, and I'm like, okay, so if in a different reality this would be Justice League Part One to be continued, and then Justice League Part Two would be them resurrecting him and the battle and then the end confrontation at the end, and that works pretty well. So you could even, I mean, everybody calls this the Zack Snyder trilogy now. It's even sold that way. It's so interesting. It's like Zack Snyder's Justice League trilogy. I'm like, okay,
not we really. What you're saying there, guys? We know what you're saying.
But it gives it the breathing room it needs to not feel like a cheat. You know,
I did own Justice League. And it wasn't some grand gesture, but once this one came out, I just thought to myself, because I usually like different versions, you know, and to like Blade Runner, just check out those different versions, what's going on. Like you say, Watchmen, it's a point of fascination for me. But with this, it was a case of like, because I remember at the end of our last chat, I was not so much defending it, but I was being like, well, you know, it's my guys and it's all I'm going to see of them. So I was almost like really just trying to enjoy it as much as I could. But once I saw this, I was just like, I don't think I'm ever going to watch that movie again, you know?
No. I mean, there will be courses taught about... Right, the journey of this film and how you get it, it's very insightful to the just movie making process. I mean, this is very it's irregular in the fact that it doesn't go this extreme most of the time, but like you can start with something and you get something else and you're like, wow, what did you, so how many other movies are sitting there like this, right? I mean, and on a shelf, right? Because it's like so many awesome things in this film, like the Flash turning back time, right? That if Warner Brother
that gives me chills every right? time
he pulls up his hand, right? Every step, the music, the world kicks in. Yeah. If Warner Brothers had its way, no one would have ever seen that ever.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? Think about it. It's like
I just can't fathom it though. That you know, we've spoke about how reactive Warners are, but just. I can't fathom sitting and watching this thing and going, nah, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing. I just can't fathom it. But I got to say, I think we need to acknowledge how the kind of audience landscape has changed with this stuff. Because I can't remember whether we talked about it last time, but no one had a good word to say about Batman versus Superman. You know, things were okay with Man of Steel. Some people had their grumbles, but I think it was generally positive. Batman versus Superman, I remember it, the audience being pretty hostile, you know, with the Twitter audience. And that might not be reflective of, you know, real life, but they seem to be getting closer and closer. But I think... all this restore the Snyder cut, restore the Snyderverse, and everyone patting themselves on the back because look what we've done. Isn't this great? We've got Snyder's Justice League out. Yet it is great. But I think maybe people should think about what they were saying at the time and how they were saying it. It's okay to not like a movie and to verbalize that, but... to pick up your torches and pitchforks to the point where the scaredy cat movie studio like Warner Brothers are just, I don't want to swear on your podcast, but, you know, filling their pants because they're like, oh, no. Oh, no, we've got this serious movie. No one likes serious superhero movies, you know. I just think, well, where were all these people at the time? Because they certainly weren't very vocal. So I think everyone should maybe just take a step back and think about how they talk about these things, what they say online. And actually, you know, it was that really made Warner Brothers retreat into their hole and say, no, we're not going with this vision. We're going... with this much worse vision. And yes, they have blame for that. They should have stuck to their guns and said, he's made a great movie here, let's put it out. But unfortunately, that's not who Warners are. And I think a lot of the blame for this also, it's at the feet of the fans. I'm sorry, you know. I don't mean to say that on your podcast and get you hate mail or anything like that. But
oh, it's fine. I can
think
take
it's true, you know. I think it's true.
No, it's yeah, because put your mindset back into 2016. VS came out. They're filming Justice League, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, that summer, right, or whatever, they're filming it, and they're like, oh man, wait, we got to change course. Being the reactionary studio they are, and the interesting thing was, if you watch this Zack Snyder's Justice League, that did organically change course. I felt the only Zack Snyder's things that I really didn't like were the things he added. Mm-hmm. When it came back, all the epilogue stuff, right? You know, just let things take their course. And I will say, it's interesting how the shifting tides of fan reaction and the internet, because yeah. like you have all the people that, you know, Warner Brothers reading all these things, and Rotten Tomatoes, which is probably like the worst invention of all time to judge art off of some percentage. You know, people just, well, you know, we got this one, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I've said this forever. Like, Rotten Tomatoes, like, it's an interesting metric, but people, when I started seeing movie studios advertising with, like, it was fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and you see a sticker, like, on a Blu-ray, I'm like, we've gone too far. Like, this has too much power, this website. So they're looking at these, oh, look at these 27% numbers and all this stuff. It's absurd. But anyway, you have that, and then you have, you know, Justice League comes out, and everybody knows about the Snyder Cut and kind of what happened, and more and more has come out, obviously, over the years. Then you have this hashtag release Snyder Cut movement, right? And I think a lot of good came from that, but also there were a lot of bad came from that as well, right? Because the internet wars, the relentlessness of it, like, come on, like, I think targeted marketing to let studios know what you want as a product, as a consumer, is cool, but there was so much, like, just flooding and sometimes, you know, just overdoing it, honestly. Vitriol, people were getting in real arguments and inappropriateness all over the place. So it's always a minefield, right? The internet. They're going all over the place, and they could have just cut around all this by just sticking to their creative decisions, right? And I think that's the name of the game here, right? Just dance with who brought you, right? Or isn't that what the word is? So do you think, though, right, in a fall 2017, right, a year and a half after BVS came out, if this movie came out, what's the reaction? What do you think?
That's a good question, because it's hard not to answer that with hindsight now, you know? I think it would have been all right, you know? I think it would have been well received. I kind of hoped that it would have been a bit of a revelation moment where people like, okay, I see what they're going for now. It flows nicely from Batman versus Superman.
And remember, Wonder Woman came out in between those, and everybody loves Wonder Woman. Yeah. Made, I don't know, like $700, $800 million worldwide. So very popular critically and commercially. So I don't, and I really, even Justice League being the kind of mess it was, and we both were like, kind of liked it at the time, right? I don't know why that bombed so bad. Like, I really just, like, you think people would, like, oh, it's, I loved Wonder Woman, let's go check her out in the next movie. For, you know, you think, right? But that clearly, I don't think it cleared, what, $300 million worldwide, Justice League, right? So less than half of what had come before.
It's hard to say. I kind of wonder whether it's like Tomb Raider syndrome. You remember that first Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider? Now, I don't think it was a great movie, but it wasn't well reviewed. I remember that. And the thing is, it was critic proof because everyone went to see it anyway. And I distinctly remember this because I was one of them saying, man, it looks great. It cuts a good trailer. She looks good in the part. It can't be that bad. I'm going to go. And then you go and have this terrible time, and they make Tomb Raider 2 because Tomb Raider 1 still did
so
well.
So much money, yeah.
You know, but once bitten, twice shy. So, and I think it does tie into maybe the Batman versus Superman thing that people just, for whatever reason, just weren't getting on board with it at the time. But if you go on Twitter now, apparently it's a classic. You know, but the thing is, I'm not saying I'm, you know, I had the foresight or anything like that, but I liked it at the time. I liked it even better once they'd done the director's cut, and I really liked the movie. We talked about the doomsday issues and stuff like that, and that all still stands, but I do like it. But I just don't think anyone else really did at the time, and maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, and so with all that in the water, right, but by the time this comes around, maybe people are just exhausted from it. Right. I mean, it's like, another one of these again. Right? Who knows? Right? But but I think, you know, the word of mouth would have been solid for this, and would have had legs, and, you know, IMAX, all that good stuff. Right. I mean, clearly, you know, the 4:3 ratio is a little pretentious, not going to lie. Right. But it's different. This is presented to be seen on a big screen, and they just should have stuck with their guns, because I think this would have finally got us closer to what we had wanted all along. And What am I looking for in these movies these days, right? Because there's so many of them. I'm looking for stuff I've never seen before at this point, And this gave me something I'd never seen before. Yes, there were a lot of beats perhaps you had seen in other films, but not these characters, these heroes coming together in this way, facing villains we never seen on an epic scale, right? That's something mm-hmm. that I haven't seen before, with the, especially with the DC properties, right? It's always, we got a bunch of Superman, a lot of Batman movies. And people are like, who's the Flash now? Do you have that show? Like, that's what people, you know, everybody knows of the Flash, but no one really, like, mm-hmm. he's not really been featured in a major film, right, up to this point. And then people had loved Wonder Woman, and Cyborg is a relatively newer character, you know, I'm talking like the 80s, to give him the, and especially in the 21st century, that's a fantastic character to bring to life and to elevate to the Justice League, I think.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, he's like the most powerful character in this thing. He can change the course of the whole world with what he can do, you know? Absolutely.
I thought even manifesting his powers was so fascinating, because that's something like the stock markets and the, you know, that's, mm-hmm. it's so interesting to articulate that. So that's what I'm looking for, right? I'm looking for things I'd never seen before, and that's why I came away with this, because I'm like, if I want to see the live-action Justice League, then this is what I'm going to go to, because what else really is there, right? I mean, there's we got some Justice League episodes of Smallville, right? But you know, it's all you know, relatively speaking, right? So yeah, there we are. And then, you know, you guys know where I'm coming from with the Superman thing, right? It's like they're acting like he was like Barry Allen, right? He's like, Superman was my hero. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's like when he comes back, what does he do?
For 10 minutes.
When he comes back to life, what does he do? He lands in a park and starts just destroying property, blowing mm-hmm. up tanks and blowing up police cars. Like, here, he's back. He really is back. This is the Superman that we know, right? So even I have to laugh at that now, right? It's just like, there he is. And I don't know how Clark Kent's back, because everybody knows he's Clark Kent now, right? Because people are yelling Clark at him when he's blowing stuff up, and Clark Kent was dead and now he's back. Like, I guess because they're never going to follow up on this, I guess they never have to explain that. Like, that's something I was hoping for, something.
That's it. You know, the moving guys are putting the furniture back in. He doesn't even have the glasses on, you know.
Right.
Hey, there's Superman over there. What the, you know? The only thing, and this is pure headcanon and kind of stuff, and I'm not even saying it is my headcanon, but the problem is we've never had the movie that kind of has Clark Kent being a full-on fleshed-out character much. We had a bit of it in Batman versus Superman, but we needed a Clark Kent Superman movie to really see his day-to-day life, didn't we? And the only thing I can really think is that in the town of Smallville, it's really a town that has closed ranks around this secret, you know? Maybe that's the way you could do it, because everyone in that town should know that by now. Is it Pete from the first movie who rescued?
The IHOP manager.
He
rescues on the bus,
He knows about it, the other kids on the bus and all that. So that's the only way I can explain that, but I don't know. We probably needed to see something about that in a movie.
Yeah, and I know that... you know, I know that he's had his time to shine in movies, but those are other versions, right? This is mm-hmm. version. So I need to know this Clark Kent, this status quo. Like, I know Christopher Reeve and Brandon Routh and those guys in their films, but they're not here. It's Henry Cavill. So, like, you can't just say, oh, well, you guys know him. Like, I understand giving a spotlight to other characters, absolutely. But if you want to establish a new universe, you build mm-hmm. it off him. And they did. I mean, they started with him in Man of Steel. And this became, who knows, at one point, this was, again, Zack Snyder's Justice League trilogy, right? I'm like, oh, like, this is, I thought we were going to do some Superman movies here, right? With maybe Batman would show up in one of them. But that's what we want, you know? And you're always fighting the legacies, right? It's like, people have already decided who their favorite Superman is and Batman is well before these movies were even conceived, right? Mm-hmm. Aquaman, sure, obviously it's Jason Momoa, right? Wonder Woman, well, obviously it's Gal Gadot. The Flash, there's been a couple of shows or stuff. There's lots of different interpretations, so that's a conversation. Cyborg, he'd been a guest star on some TV shows, you know, very briefly, mm-hmm. but it's like, here he is. So you're not like, well, I prefer the Aquaman from the 1978 classic movie. There's not that going on. So you're fighting that, but looking at this as a whole, I think it all fits, and I really do enjoy it. You know, that's what I can come away with it with.
And I think one of the sad kind of ironies of it is that at the time everyone was like, these DC movies are too dark, you know, but this one, maybe without that epilogue on it, this one got to that point where Clark was in Metropolis. He had that great coat on. He was looking like Clark Kent. You know, he looks up in the sky, he hears a noise, and he runs and he pulls his shirt open. We had We had fought the good fight. We had banished the evil for now. And it was at a place where they probably could have started having a bit more fun with some of these characters, you know. The next Superman movie needn't have been so angsty because they had got to this point. And that's the sad irony of it. It would have got them where they wanted to go if they'd have just left alone.
I guess devil's advocate, like, why should it take us so long to get where we want to be?
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So there is that. You know, give people what they want at the start instead of like the fourth movie, and then maybe, you know, they'll come. So, I mean, like, because I look at, you cannot help but the Marvel comparison, sorry, but you look at Captain America. That guy was through and through who that character was start to finish. So it's like, could have done the same thing with Superman, but they were afraid to. Superman intimidates them. Well, he really does, I think.
I think I'd probably go back to what I probably said back in either Batman versus Superman or Man of Steel, that yes, we all want the more Reeve-esque Superman, but this was a Superman who was being born into the kind of cynical world of today, the world that loves to destroy its heroes, you know? So yeah, maybe it didn't need to take this long to get there, but that's the thing, you know. This problem is leading on from the problem of killing them in Batman versus Superman, you know what I mean? So it is all connected, but I don't mind that he had to really work for a little bit to win people over, because that's the world we live in now. If Superman landed tomorrow, you would have half the world protesting and half the world thinking he was great, because that's the world we live in.
And, you know, a lot of people do connect with the Superman, so I don't want to, I'm always trying to have fun in these conversations when I, like, he's barely in it. I love it, right? You guys know what I mean. And so I don't want to say, like, your interpretation is invalid, right? I mean, hey, you know, there's been plenty of good versions around. You can just tell the studio is like, they're afraid and doesn't know what to do with him on the big screen. Anyway, I think he's been very successful. I mean, obviously Smallville, I'm biased, but Superman and Lois has really been a fantastic show featuring Superman.
Really? Yeah. I haven't watched it.
I recommend it, man. I really do. It's not the show that I would have made, right? I'm like, I don't want to see him in Smallville again. I just watched 10 years of that, right? But but he's still Superman. He's still a star. Him and Lois, like, they're fantastic. Their relationship, their parents, you know, so all the things that these films are lacking as far as the world of Superman, this show delivers Superman Lois. Ah. So, but it has the visual flair and feel of, you know, these films, right? So anyway, go check out Superman and Lois if you're and I think you would like it, Tom. As a fan of the Christopher Reeve films, you would like the show. Okay. I think, and if you don't like it, your money back, guaranteed.
I mean, I don't want to go off track too much, but I'm just not a big fan of the TV DC stuff. And I think they're putting out characters that I wish they had got their house in order and we'd seen in movies first, you know, because some of it looks a little bit cheap.
I agree. Like, if Superman Lois is set apart from the rest of these Arrowverse shows, like, definitely, right, okay. like even story wise, they're pretty much self contained, and visually, it's like you're watching HBO. Like, it's not like you're watching the CW. So trust me, as someone, I know exactly what you mean.
I trust you, man.
Just whatever you do, don't turn on The Flash right now or any of these other shows. Just stick to Superman and Lois. Or you'll be like, what is this nonsense Zach recommended to me? But no, I follow you. Yeah. And had the Superman films taken off, no pun intended, I don't think we would have gotten a show, right? It's like the Batman world. They're like, well, you can't have a Batman show. We got to make money off him. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think that's maybe why, like, it wasn't like I was protesting not watching it. I don't even know what channel it's on over here, to be honest. So I probably would have watched it by now. But part of me was just like, what are you doing? You need to be getting your house in order on screen. You can't have a movie universe of DC without having a Superman in it. So I think that was part of it. A little bit of resentment, you know, and I don't like to be too much like that. So I'm going to give it a chance, man.
All right. Let me know what you think.
I will.
On Superman, though, in the film, like, I even the little he is in it, I do feel like it's a little slapdash as far as, like, well, we got some voiceovers from Russell Crowe and Kevin Costner. We can splice in there, right? I'm like, why? That whole sequence I felt would have been more powerful without that. you know, and then like, let's make his suit black. And I'm like, okay, yes, I know he comes back from the dead in the comics like that, but this is not that. Yeah. But okay, sure. You know, and so, but he serves his purpose as he's coming back and he's the big guns, right? To quote Justice League, I guess that I'll be quoting that movie the rest of my life, like, because Ralph Ritter, the big guns, right? It's just such a, he comes in, he saves the day with just being the strong man. And I guess I'm just looking for a little more from him from that. You know what I mean?
There is that, because if he'd have come back at the beginning, he just would have beat the guy up and it would have been over. You know what I mean? So there definitely is that. They would have really needed to start, and it kind of works with this to a degree because he's only just come back. But next movie, they would have really needed to figure out how they're going to do this, and it's not just Superman coming in punching someone to death again.
Right. I did like the stuff with, you know, him and Lois and him and Martha, right? The reuniting, and like it was brief, but him back at Smallville, like rediscovering himself, and obviously there was a lot more of that here than there was in Justice League, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. I really felt something for him there, you know, when he's reuniting with his mom and Lois, and but you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the future. My favorite thing in these films is Evil Superman, and what is the last shot of Zack Snyder's Justice League? It is a repurposed shot from BVS of him looking evil. And that's just normal Henry Cavill Superman. Like, they didn't have to change anything. They just gave him some red eyes. Right?
Yeah. I know you hate that nightmare sequence with a passion, right?
And it's, I guess if I could just... This whole series of podcasts can be called, like, I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the DCEU, right? Like, I really am embracing. Mm-hmm. There's so, you can fundamentally disagree with some creative decisions and still enjoy stuff. I mean, if you don't, you're just going to be miserable because nothing is going to be 100% to your liking all the time. With this, I'm like, come on, gal. I mean, I'm so torn because I'm like, they set this stuff up in BVS. I'm like, they needed to justify it by paying it off somehow and closing a loop. They didn't even do that, but they didn't. I assume Flash is going to run back in time at the end of this and tell Bruce Wayne to assemble everyone, right? So it does justify why we had that in the last film, but it's like, oh, it's such a slog. Because, like, oh, and it's not the last shot. It's Bruce Wayne wakes up from a nightmare, and then we get another stupid addition.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, we had ended on this hopeful thing, and the status quo is restored, and, like, they just really wanted to push it to 4 hours, so they just added this, like, sequence in here, and I just, hey, but we got... What did you think of Ben Affleck and Jared Leto finally getting a scene, Tom?
I'm going to just backtrack a little bit, if that's okay.
Oh, of course. I know I'm so scattershot in my...
No, it's all connected. It's connected to what we're talking about. But in Batman versus Superman, these sequences of the nightmare future were almost like it was Bruce Wayne's nightmares of, well, this is what could happen. Because he's so powerful, you know what I mean? So it was almost like, did they really need to pay it off? Maybe, maybe not. If they'd have left it, would we have lost anything?
Well, so the Flash made it necessary.
I know, but that could have even been a dream, you know?
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Had he met the Flash by then? Probably not. But okay, so it seemed to serve a purpose in Batman versus Superman that it was like Bruce Wayne's twisted kind of psyche thinking this is what could happen, you know, he could kill the whole universe. But I suppose then there's you know, all Darkseid's minions and stuff are in the dreams as well. So you do have to pay it off to a degree. Now, I'm actually completely fine with it because I think nightmare futures have been a part of DC Comics for many, many years. I remember there was a series of Elseworlds annuals where all the annuals were Elseworlds one year, and there was a Superboy annual, and it might have been Superboy and Justice League or something like that, which was very similar to this kind of nightmarish future where we've got to get the league back together, but oh, let's find the Flash. He's, you know... He's got no legs or whatever. It wasn't that. But these kinds of things going on. So I've always enjoyed it. I think Batman looks great in the coat. And I don't know. It was just never a problem for me. I do completely get what you're saying about bad Superman, though, because we've only just had a kind of bad Superman, you know, and we're doing it again. But... I really liked it. And I just liked it because it was a bit more Ben Affleck. I liked that they got Jared Leto in and he's finally a Joker who I can kind of like. His mouth is like a wound on his face and he's got this laugh to him, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just vile, but in a way that is more palatable than when he was in Suicide Squad, which was just awful. And I just liked the interaction, you know. And when I kill you, and I will effing kill you, you know, I'm all about that. You know, the last scene with Martian Manhunter I could have done without, but you know, but I like the nightmare stuff.
That exchange, I did like some parts of it, him and Joker, where it's like, be very careful what you say. Mm-hmm. That wasn't very careful. You know, so
and the things are so bad that he's dragging the Joker along and he's dragging Deathstroke along, you know. And you know, in the last scene we saw that he was just about to go after, is it Deathstroke?
Yeah, that's Deathstroke. And, yeah, that, and that's the setting up name. And that originally was filmed to set up the Batfleck film, him versus, yeah. And I'm like, well, that's a lost film, and maybe, you know, it's the clock's ticking on that. Like, they could theoretically still do it, but I mean,
yeah, they have to be quick.
2 or 3 more years and they're not gonna do any more of that stuff, right? I would take that every day of the week over Robert Pattinson's the Batman. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you now, man. I'm with you.
But it's like, I'm fine with some flashes. Like when Cyborg does his plugging in and sees the worst case scenario, like you see Wonder Woman dead and all, you know, all these characters dead. Okay, that's fine because that's your flash for, oh God, we got to avoid this, right? You want some cool mm-hmm. visuals. You want to like this. These are the stakes we're dealing with. I don't want a full sequel movie of them in the apocalypse. And apparently that's what we were going to get. So that's where I'm conflicted. I'm like, do I want to restore the Snyderverse? Like, I want to restore parts of the Snyderverse. You know what I mean?
Well, that was probably going to be Justice League 3, right? Justice League 2. I mean, I don't know. I know Zach spoke a lot about stuff he had planned, and this is where, I mean, sorry for hijacking the conversation, but...
No, please. I've talked about this so much and enough, so this, please.
This is where you kind of think sometimes, okay, see, I am completely pro restore the Snyderverse, but that's not necessarily me saying I want Zack Snyder in charge of the DCEU. I think the two don't necessarily have to be the same things. I'd like him to do his Justice League trilogy, but I would like someone else to do a Superman movie. I would like someone else to do the Batman movie. You know, the way it should be, because there's some stuff that's come out that I'm like, where he's talking about Bruce having the affair with Lois and, you know, the kid is Bruce's, and I'm just like, no, don't do that. You know, so yeah, restore the Snyderverse, but just, you know, rein a few things in, Zach.
Yeah. Where do they go from here? They don't seem to. They're like, we are pleased that we were able to give the fans what they want and restore Zack Snyder's vision. Thank you for your time. That's like the official statement on mm-hmm. one of those part. And it's like, and in the meanwhile, go see the Suicide Squad and the Batman. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Not that I am disinterested in their entire slate coming up. Like the Flash movie interests me very much so because Affleck is coming back. Michael Keaton's coming back. More of a Batman film than a Flash film at this point, right?
I know.
Shazam 2, I like the first Shazam, Black Adam. I'm interested in that whole universe developing with The Rock, but it's like, outside of that, I'm like, oh, there are Aquaman 2, because I like the first one, but, you know, Wonder Woman 84 didn't make me that excited about Wonder Woman 3, to be honest, and yeah, I'm not really, like, excited about some of these other things they've announced. I'm like, okay, I would rather continue with these characters. The journey has been so hard and so long for mm-hmm. these films to finally get this and then just immediately be like, okay, that's it, nothing else. Like, I don't know, at some level it's got to be personal at the top levels. I don't know, because it's just out of spite. I'm like, it's been very well received, getting lots of accolades, right? So it's this release, you know what I mean? So it's just like, to the audience is there, the consumers are there, theoretically the money would be there if it came out in theaters. Mm-hmm. Obviously this was a theatrical release, so what's the problem? Oh, we've decided to go in a different direction, but they have no direction, and that is ultimately mm-hmm. their problem. So,
and we're talking at a time when I understand it's number one in the US at the moment. I think it was number one in the UK
on the sales for the discs. Yeah, home video sales. Yeah,
sales for the discs. When it came out, it was number one here as well, but it's outselling the number two by 5-1, and this reactionary studio aren't reacting to that.
Well, I bought 25 copies myself, Tom, so that might be...
Yeah. But that's the thing. It is all about they don't want egg on their faces. It's a pride thing now. You know what I mean? And I think something you mentioned there where you're kind of like, well, yeah, I want to see this one, but not so much this one. It just has left me generally disinterested in what they're doing. You know, the way they've kind of handled this. I will go and see every Marvel thing, you know, and I was never even a Marvel kid, and DC should be the thing where I'm going to see everything, but I don't care about a Batgirl movie, you know, I don't care about, you know, I care about The Flash because I'm interested in what they're going to do with it. And yes, it's going to be interesting to see Keaton and Affleck in it. But my fear with that is they're just going to use it to bury the Snyderverse in some way.
That's my theory as well. Just use it to erase it, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if they had any sense, the end of that movie would be like, okay, this is bad. We're going to need the Justice League. And everyone would be like, ah!
What if it is, Tom? What if this is some kind of long con? We don't know.
If they had any sense, it would be,
well,
you know?
Well, they celebrate this multiverse now. Well, great. Have this over here and that over there. Like, it's you can still make this over here. And your HBO Max universe, right? And have your Batfleck show. And those are the things I'm interested in, right? And then have your Robert Pattinson's Batman movie with the Penguin and the Catwoman. Yeah. I've seen that. It's called Batman Returns. You know what I mean?
And I'm interested in Black Adam because it's The Rock and we all like The Rock, you know? And there's things like Dr. Fate in it, which will be interesting.
And he's super passionate about it, too. You know, like the character and being, you know, like his excitement excites me. You know what I mean? So,
But I'm not sure we should be hooking the whole universe onto it. And I think that's what they're doing. You know, they're hoping that he is their new Superman in a way. And I just, you know, I'm not boycotting. I'm not that kind of person. But I just, my excitement about these things comes naturally. And I just don't have that much excitement for them because of how this has all played out, you know?
Yeah, it is bittersweet at the end of the day, right? As we wind down and close out our Snyder Cut specials here, right? It's like we got it and it's better and that's it.
And it's gone. Yeah.
But you know, I've fallen off the Marvel stuff just there's so much of it. I'm like, I can't keep up with Ant-Man and the Wasp, or you know what I mean? It's like I just with DC, it's, I guess it's because there's still so few and far between of them. I'm like, yeah, I can see two of those a year, right? Like, do I care about the Suicide Squad? No, but I do have HBO Max, and it was free for me to watch. I guess the true test, Tom, would have been if it was on HBO Max and the world was normal right now, and there was out in theaters, would I have gone and seen it? Probably still would. You know, so I will still make it the point to see all the DC movies. We'll see if I ever fall off from that. I guess I've seen every DC movie in the theaters since, I didn't see Catwoman. I saw Catwoman on a plane, but I did see Jonah Hex. So I feel like I should get some points from that.
Okay. That's, you know, not just points. You deserve a medal for that.
That is the worst comic movie ever made. I don't know. But anyway, I want them to pick a direction and stick with it, because this is, as we've seen from them from probably the beginning, really, they go all over the place, you know, like,
yeah. And now they have this great unifying thing. It's like, okay, maybe we had to take the long route to get here, but you know what, we got here, let's just go with it while we still have time. You know, I don't think you're going to get three Batfleck movies now, but give us one, set something up where, you know, Dick Grayson replaces him, you know, whatever, I don't know. But give him that one movie and get two more Justice League movies, I think, you know? That's the way I would do it.
Well, you can, the Justice League, you can rotate the heroes on there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing I want to point out, like, they set up some other things around the universe in this, right? Ryan Choi, who is the Atom in the comic books right now, right? He takes over Star Labs when Miles Dyson dies, Silas Stone. And I'm like, and they mentioned, hey, Ryan Choi, nanotechnology. He's like, yeah, that's my thing. I'm like, oh, okay, the Atom. Like, so there's things you could pick up on, you know, and continue and rotate out characters and that sort of thing. And that's the great thing about having a team of heroes. And I would like to see this team at least do one mission, you know, like maybe have Brainiac show up or something and they all have to fight. You know, not just save Darkseid for like the end because he's like your end boss. He's your Thanos level villain, right? Yeah. Again, the Marvel comparison, sorry, but you know, Brainiac is your Ultron, I guess. Oh my God, they're copying Marvel again. Look at, listen to me. So that's where I am with it. I just, it has been a journey, you know? I mean, it is the year 2021, right? And Man of Steel came out in 2013. So it's 8 years, and here's where we are. I mean, this film was filmed 5 years ago, and we're sitting here talking about it. It came out this year, this calendar year, right? So
that's crazy,
right?
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of good in here. Is it the definitive Justice League movie? No, I always point to the animated shows for that because they're the definitive version of everything. But I guess I will say on a, you know, talking about setting other things up, Adam, Ryan Troy, yes. Martian Manhunter? No. Like, that was awkward, yeah. Right?
That really stuck out to me on this rewatch, that scene where for some reason he decided to become Martha Kent and go and speak to Lois. It was a nice scene when it was Martha Kent, you know what I mean? But I just can't see Martian Manhunter doing that. And then, you know, Lois calls Martha the next day just to say hi, and she's like, oh, you know, what you said yesterday really made sense to me. And Martha's like, what? What did I say yesterday? You know what I mean? It's just such a stupid thing.
Was that really so Martha Kent that they came and said hi to Clark and Lois? Or was it some question? And apparently that was always the plan. I'm like, that was a great scene between.
Really?
Yeah, I thought to myself, that was a great scene between Lois and Martha. And then, no, it's the guy from The Matrix, General Swanwick. it's funny now that I always used to think of him as the guy from The Matrix. Now The Matrix is coming back, and I'm like, oh, it's the guy from, I don't know if he's in Resurrections or not, but I'm like, oh, the guy from Man of Steel, Martian Manhunter. Like, my designation in my head has been reassigned from one franchise to another of him, is what I'm trying to say. But both of those scenes should have been cut. I mean, originally it was supposed to be Green Lantern. Like, Zack Snyder even filmed John Stewart Green Lantern. For some reason, that's the one thing WB wouldn't compromise on, and they just wouldn't let him do it.
Yeah. I would have preferred Green Lantern, definitely.
Because that expands the universe. When we saw the Green Lantern, yeah, again, talking about universe building here and there, we saw the Green Lantern in the past. So cool, right? Darkseid almost gets the ring and, you know.
Flies away.
Right. And so that's, great. He's that guy, and that's a whole universe of possibilities there. A whole team, because Green Lantern, there's different ones at the same time. So yeah, it's like not a problem. We saw dead Kilowog in the future, right? So I'm like, there's so many of these little hints to things. That's a huge mystery to me because they're not doing anything with Jon Stewart, right? He's not in this Green Lantern HBO Max show. I mean,
he's not.
He's not. Not Hal Jordan is not, and neither is Kyle Rayner.
Guy Gardner, or
it's Alan Scott, Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, and
Rice.
Who is the fourth one? Alan Scott,
no, man.
Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, and
I don't know.
Simon Baz, maybe? I don't know. That'd be cool. I liked him. He's the new 52 creation. But anyway.
Okay.
Now this is bothering me now. But anyway, we'll move on. We'll move on from that. So I don't know why it's like, if this truly is its own thing, they should have just said, sure, use your Green Lantern and your scene. Filmed it. Like, it's not like it's not like they'd have to go do it. It was done. Anyway, so those again, these behind the scenes conflicts that are just seem petty to me at this point, and just anyway, but creatively, like, again, so yeah, I think we're level-headed people. We love the movie for the whole, but we can say the stuff we didn't like, which is like Martian Manhunter for me, across the board, and then for me more so the nightmare stuff more so than you. So then that's where we land on it. And then everything else is pretty cool. I mean, I've accepted that this is who the Superman is, and I just laugh about it when I see him just destroying stuff left and right with his heat vision. And given that a sequel to this, not that it should have taken this long, right? That's always the conversation, but yes, not that it should have taken four or five movies. Next movie could have had the status quo Superman with this guy, and then it all would have kind of felt like, you know, we're back, right?
Yeah, definitely. It would have led the charge, you know, and I'm kind of sad because I know you know, I love Superman, but you dedicate more of your life to it than me, absolutely. And I'm kind of sad that you never got that one that would win you over. I would really have liked that for you and for me as well. But I've kind of made my peace that I don't think they're going to restore the Snyderverse. I don't think it's going to happen, but I still hold out a little hope. But like you said, the more time that goes on, the less I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tom, I know that you had said that this was going to proudly sit on your shelf with a select few DCEU movies. So which ones made the cut for you? What's part of the DCEU collection of Tom Elliott?
Okay, so I have Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, that new cut that came out, which I think is the same. It's only the aspect ratio sometimes and color correction. Then Wonder Woman. Then Justice League, the Snyder Cut, then Aquaman. Those are the ones for me at the moment. I did see Birds of Prey. I hadn't seen it last time we spoke. It's not for me, but I know some people really dig that movie, so that's great. You know, it's for them. I don't have to like everything, and that's fine. So that doesn't sit on the shelf. I'm kind of over buying stuff that, just to fill the gaps now, you know what I mean? So even if I didn't buy another movie, I think I've got a fairly decent set there that will be nice to revisit sometime.
Yeah,
you know?
And you can headcanon your way around the differences between Aquaman and Zack Snyder's Justice League. Like, Willem Dafoe, you look different, and Amber Heard, you sound different.
They're Atlanteans. Who knows? Who knows what happens with those guys? You know?
Of the two looks, though, did you like Aquaman's more or the Snyder Cut's more? Because I like the Snyder Cut kind of approach a little better. Hot take, maybe.
The long hair kind of thing?
No, and I'm just saying like the whole like the bubbles, the discussion, the kind of underwater gladiator look they had. You know, they just look slicker and cleaner. And I love Aquaman. It's in my top three DCU movies. It's not a slight to it. I'm just like visually, like you show me both of those, I'm like, I kind of like this one better. So.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
After I get over Green Goblin being Aquaman's mentor, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and J. Jonah Jameson being that's the, right.
Oh man, just I thought, I'm like, what are you doing? But I love him. That's I would love to see that Batfleck movie for him to see more of him as well. So, and hey, for you mentioned Batgirl movie, I mean, he's apparently going to be in it. Like that's the talk. So if that happens, that's connected. So gonna have to clear space on your shelf, Tom.
But it's just like, how do you do that movie with, oh, Batman's out of town, or, you know.
That's every Batman show ever now, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think they're going to drop Ben Affleck off a cliff in The Flash, you know. Oh, he's dead. Damn it. Okay, well, there you go.
Well, there you have it, Tom. It's been a journey, man. And thanks for talking to me about all these DC movies. It's been fun for us to talk about this corner of fandom that we both share, but never really talk about. Just... never really crossed paths on it very often as far as behind the microphone goes. So it's been a lot of fun having you over on my podcast and getting to talk some Superman and superheroes.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it, you know, and you're right. We've been friends for years now, and we talk about this stuff behind the scenes, but it's been really nice to do it on your show. And I thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll be back again to talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League Part 2 in 2025. Hey.
We can only hope.
Oh, man. But hey, if people want to find you out there on the internet, Tom, where can they find you?
I just go to thetwilightzonepodcast.com. That's my show. I'm coming up to the end of season 4, so I'm on the home stretch. And going for season 5 of The Twilight Zone. I'm going to try and not crank it out, Zach, but you know. You don't want to dawdle on the home stretch. You want to kind of get there and get it over and done with. That sounds terrible. I don't mean it that way. But, you know, you want to kind of complete the project, if you like.
Yeah, when I get to season 10 of Smallville, I'll feel the same way. And I'm currently on season 7.
Will.
So. All right. Yeah. Well, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter. Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com once again with 1S. Well, that's going to do it. The book is closed on the Snyder Cut specials unless we get that sequel we were talking about. And if we do, Tom Elliott will be here to break it down with me. But until then, we are coming back with season 7 coverage. I know this is a Smallville podcast. Who knew, right? But we're back to Smallville. We'll be back with season 7 next week. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. always on Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Darren Kirscht, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ DeWinna, Nathan Rothatcher, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mikindo, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Thomas Navin, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itzvapen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob Stevenart, Diana Bias, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clonk Kant, Becca Zeifel, Jacob, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.